on April 21, 2016, National Polygamy Advocate Mark Henkel was interviewed by John Christos for WGME-TV after Fox 10 Phoenix.
Okay. Yep. And I'm gonna just put this phone down and there you
go.
Thank you very much.
All right, Andrew.
We appreciate your time. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you doing this for us.
Take care. See ya.
See you later.
Good.
You said you had questions or things you wanted to ask?
I think we answered them all.
You got them all?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I would just be curious specific, you know, to Maine or New England, if there are regions or, you know, how he kind of asked in a way, you know, how you see practically see it play out. Is it like we right. see on like Big Love or Sister right. Wives or something like that?
Sure. And it is. Best of the families live quiet lives. They, you know, we're not trying to impose ourselves on anybody else. People who know us, we're just regular everyday people. And you know, media companies are in business. You know, and I often use the term the manufactured news outlets. You know, that it's creating news. Boring stories, boring families don't sell. You know, so, but cult raids do sell. And so that's why that's what gets the attention. And because it is against the law, and especially with the free speech aspect, we have to live very quietly and not really be putting our family and lives and stuff up in the public, as it were. And that's why, for example, I've made a promise. I'm not revealing my family. I'm not putting my family on display. I've promised my family. My career is not based on my family, and my family is not based on my career. You know, it's just a matter of, if I'm going to be putting myself out there, then I've got to protect my family, specifically because the law is quite tyrannical. Just the free speech criminality, even in the state of Maine.
Yeah. But you are married to multiple women?
I am very happily married, and I have one marriage license, and I'm not going to make any more purporting so that I do not put myself in trouble in Maine law.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to ask that.
All the time. Yeah. So I fully get that. And really, that's the plight that we're right. under. And if anybody cares about free speech, that should matter. That should matter to anybody, that we actually have free speech is a crime for unrelated consenting adult polygamists.
Maybe because people are proud of their family. Many people are proud of their families,
of course.
Right?
You
put a picture on your desk, yeah. you know, and so do you feel that, you know, because of Maine law, that you aren't able to reveal maybe everything you would like to about
absolutely. Yeah,
about
we don't have freedom.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we don't have that. Families have to be very, very careful. And very quiet. You know, sometimes friends will figure something out. You know, there's more than one woman in the house. You know, you know, and they like that woman too. You know, so people get to know. You know, they'll just, you know, it's ironic. They'll think of it more like there's just a girlfriend, or no, maybe that family's doing something like that. You know, 10 years ago, Hugh Hefner had a show called Girls Next Door, and that was all fine. But if he was to marry them, he'd be a criminal instantly. That's crazy. That's just craziness.
So do you describe yourself when you introduce yourself to people or work on advocacy in this area? Do you say, I am a polygamist? I am a polygamous man?
When it comes to this situation, I am the National Polygamy Advocate. So that I can say that, and that doesn't put me into any trouble, because anybody can advocate, as long as I'm not identifying myself, you know, for that. And certainly because of what I've done, you Google just straight my name, and you know, nationalpolygamyadvocate.com comes right up. You know, so it's right off the first thing. So I am well out there. I mean, I've keynoted at Yale. I've got it. My YouTube channel is full of speeches explaining positions and arguments. I've been doing this a while. Ultimately, more than just polygamy, which is what I'm also doing, in order to help polygamy, I'm actually providing a solution that the larger society at whole can wrap their brains around and actually embrace. Because I'm not trying to make everybody else be a polygamist. And it goes back to the free market that I talked about before, that it equilibrates anyway, and actually incentivizing better guys so it equilibrates. I'm not saying everybody should be a polygamist, God help us, no. I mean, if it was to incentivize every guy to try to be capable, then that's a good thing, because that only means better men. Ultimately. But to say that everybody should be a polygamist, I do not say that. So as a consequence, I actually raise an argument, a position that everybody can embrace so that we can finally end this debate. Because the way I see it now, the OMOWs, the OMOWs, one man, one woman, conservatives, supporters, have only three options left to them right now as a result of the Obergefell decision. They can either die, win, or lose. They can die by just give up. Forget about it, it's done, you know, and churches may even eventually face their tax status being removed. They can either just die. Or two, they can embrace this win-win solution and get back to their own values of limited government. Instead of trying to use big government to impose on someone, actually define it the other way, and that is get government out of it altogether, the true conservative position. And so they can, if they'll embrace that, then it becomes a win for them. Or the third option is to keep trying to lose with the same failing methodology of trying to pursue a marriage control amendment to the Constitution. And let's be real, they're not going to ever get 38 states to ratify an amendment to limit marriage only to one man, one woman. That's just never going to happen. So they've only got the solution, and that's my solution.
So, you know, I, just practically speaking, with, you know, like marriage licenses, obviously, you know, you have one, mm-hmm. or, you know, so can you, I'm trying to think of how I can articulate this, how, you know, how can you say, or how can a family say, like, you know, I am, you know, I have many wives, right? I have two wives, I have three wives,
yeah.
You know, if you can, in reality, really only be married to one person.
By law.
By law.
That's a marital license. So,
right.
You know, marriage...
Where do you see marriage being, I guess?
Well, marriage existed before the invention of government. Marriage will exist if government collapses. Marriage does not require or need a marriage license. And in fact, when our country was founded, people didn't have marriage licenses. You don't need government to give you permission to be married, ultimately. Now, certainly laws about underage, laws about incest, and laws about coercion and fraud and all that, those can totally be valid and kept separately. Those don't have to apply. We're talking about unrelated consenting adults making a choice. And so marriage doesn't really require the license whatsoever. And so if we actually get that out, get government out of it altogether, that will simplify everything. And that really the only role for government in marriage is at the municipal level as a repository of the public records of the contractual arrangements that unrelated consenting adults make with each other. That way, like a corporation, if they dissolve later on in the future, then they've got dissolution and then they have public records. But they don't need to have government law, government giving them permission of defining their what their marriage is. So in the mistake that the OMOWs made was having government to define marriage one way. The reality is, especially if you say you believe in democracy as a concept, which actually I don't necessarily believe in two wolves and one sheep voting once for lunch, but if you believe in that, then tomorrow's democracy majority can be very different from yesterday's majority. And so if it's okay for a majority to define one man, one woman, one era, it's okay for a future generation to define marriage another way. So instead of having any definition from any majority, stop having government or any majority define it one way or the other. And I think that as that battle, that conflict between the, I call it the immovable object and the irresistible force of between OMOW and SSM, one man, one woman, same-sex marriage, that fight continues to go on as they continue to battle each other. The real solution is simple, that everybody wins, and that's the polygamy rights win-win solution. Abolish all marriage control for unrelated consenting adults. I know the left likes to call it marriage equality, but that's Orwellian Animal Farm equality, where some have less equality than others, because polygamists don't have equality under the marriage equality of same-sex marriage. And the right likes to say it's about marriage protection. But to call marriage control marriage protection is as silly as calling gun control gun protection. You know, it just doesn't even make sense. Really, what it's about is marriage control. And if you really want to believe in individual liberty, want to believe in limited government, really want to believe in equality for all, the only sane solution is to abolish all big government marriage control for unrelated consenting adults. That's it. That's simple.
All right. I have to free up the studio for the next, our next project.
Sure thing.
I'll take this mic off you. You probably forgot it's even on.
No, I get it. I can feel it actually to my side, too.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Mark Henkel is National Polygamy Advocate. Presented polygamy to the public since 1994. NationalPolygamyAdvocate.com.